Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Well, welcome to the show. This is the DL Link show on 101.9 Chai FM. Nikki Seberini with you for the next hour. I hope you're having a good day. I hope you're having a fabulous week. As the end of year is nearing, for some of you it may mean getting closer to the holidays and you're starting to wind down. And I think for many of you, you're still winding up very much so. And possibly this time of the year brings about a lot of stress and overwhelm. And, you know, if you live in Joburg, you'll be lucky enough to drive through the streets and see the most extraordinary, extraordinary purple splendor. The jacarandas are out. So if you can, take a moment, you know, get outside, walk in the street, breathe, be in the moment. And hopefully you'll just be able to wind down slowly instead of wind up as the end of year gets closer. Well, maybe you'll be able to wind down a little bit listening to the show. We always bring you information and insights and illumination. And today will be no different. I'm going to be chatting with Puleng Maketa, who's a breast cancer warrior. Puleng's going to be sharing her story with us. Of course, we're right near the end of October. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And Puleng has an amazing story that she's going to share. And then after that, we're going to be laughing. Shireen Richter, happiness professor and coach, motivational speaker, TEDx speaker, DL Link Angel will be joining us. We're going to be talking about why it's good to laugh. Oh, I do love a good laugh. I just don't think it happens often enough. Don't know about you, but maybe Shireen will be telling us how to do it more often. I know that it's very, very good for us. So that's what is coming up on the show. I'd like to introduce our first guest, Puleng Maketa. Puleng, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited and nervous at the same time.
Listen, you are amazing. You can't be nervous because you're just an amazing person, and we are now just chatting. So that's that. No nerves. Let's just chat, because what a story. I mean, your story goes all the way back to 2019, Puleng. Tell us about it.
Look, I shared my story via Buddies magazine. I was 32 years old at the time. And I felt a lump underneath my armpit, and it happened accidentally. So a few weeks down the line, we discovered that it's breast cancer. I then went through several tests, you know, a couple of tears here and there with my sisters. But you know what, in the end, I made it to the other side. But yeah, a very daunting journey, one that I did not expect.
And also Puleng, so young, 32 years old, that's very young. That must have come as a huge shock to the system. And I believe that because you were so young, the doctors recommended a bilateral mastectomy. Am I correct?
You're correct. Look, being diagnosed at 32, you know, no one prepares you for that. I had no one to compare myself to, especially in the Black community. The only places I've seen cancer would be on movies, to be honest.
Sure.
And yeah, the doctor proposed that I have a bilateral mastectomy with immediate reconstruction. Initially, I thought it will just be a lumpectomy. However, because of my age and to make sure that, you know, I don't have to deal with cancer again, we had to go for like the extreme approach. So yeah, in 2019, I had a bilateral mastectomy.
So do you, I mean, that's huge, right? As you say, I mean, your doctor said you're young, it could come back, you don't want it to, let's remove the breast tissue, because the lumpectomy would just be removing the lump. Did that come as a big shock to your system? It's quite a drastic measure.
It did, especially because I'm still young. And one's breasts, I mean, you know, they represent your femininity. So yeah, like it was a big shock, but you know what? I had to trust the process. I had to, you know, trust my doctors, and, you know, in the end it worked out.
Yeah. And I know that, I mean, in the article, because this is taken from Buddies for Life, the March edition, that it was really difficult for you. You know, you wouldn't look at yourself. It was hard for you to come to terms with this new you. So how is it now?
Look, eventually I looked, and to be honest, it wasn't as bad as I thought. You know, my sister, I would go to change the dressings with my sister, and she would assure me, you know, you look fine. And I'm like, I'm not ready, because, you know, I thought I would look like, you know, someone from Halloween. But I looked, and they looked great. And, you know, I have my doctor, Dr. Van den Berg, to thank. Because he did a very good job. So I still feel like a woman. I still feel complete. And yeah, I'm really happy that it all worked out.
And of course, being, you know, I mean, we talk about 32, and you say you just didn't have anyone to compare your story to, because that really is young. So something else that you had to consider was having children. I believe you weren't in a relationship at a time. You wanted to have children, but you knew that, you know, with chemotherapy, it could affect your eggs. And it was recommended that you freeze your eggs. But that, unfortunately, wasn't a route you could take. Perhaps you can just tell us about that, Pauline, this whole journey of, you know, having breast cancer, the treatment, and yet still wanting the opportunity to have children.
Like, when you are diagnosed, to be honest, you go through so many tests. Half of the time, you don't have enough time to decide whether you want to do something or not. So it was like clockwork, to be honest. When I was asked by my oncologist, look, even having to have chemo was a surprise. We didn't expect that. But they discovered after removing my lump that, you know, it became invasive. So I had to have chemo. So my doctor asked me, you know, would you like to preserve your eggs? And, you know, immediately I'm like, look, if I can still have babies afterwards, it's something that I don't want to waste time, you know, to go through a cycle and try to retrieve eggs. So I proceeded then with, you know, scheduling my surgery, and decided that I will deal with having a baby at a later stage. But look, years down the line, after treatment, to my shock, I found out that my ovarian reserve was very low, meaning that chemo destroyed some of the eggs that I had. So I had very few eggs left.
But you, you know, as you say, and I think, were you in a relationship at that time, or weren't you when they told you that you didn't have many eggs?
I was not in a relationship at the time.
But that didn't stop you, Pauline.
Yes. Sorry?
I just said, but that didn't stop you, because, I mean, you then were in a relationship, and then you fell pregnant.
Yes. So it definitely didn't stop me. When I found out that I didn't have enough eggs, I told myself that I want to try IVF. I will, you know, I will do it the sperm donor route. Unfortunately, that fell through the cracks, because, you know, there was a co-payment I had to pay, and I couldn't afford it at the time. But I tried all that I could, because I wanted to look back one day if I couldn't have a baby and say I did all that I could. But fast forward, I got into a relationship and I managed to have a baby naturally. But I must say, it came with a lot of prayer, and I'm believing that, you know, God can turn my situation around, and He did.
I think that's pretty extraordinary, you know, when you're told, I mean, what a journey, right? I mean, the cancer, and you have to have this mastectomy, bilateral mastectomy, and then you don't have, they say, a lot of eggs, and you just trust and you have faith, and then you're in a relationship, and you fall pregnant naturally. It is amazing. You talk about your faith, Pauline. I suppose you were in a rush. I mean, starting a relationship, you don't exactly fall pregnant early on in this relationship. How did you navigate this, you and your partner?
Look, my partner knew in the beginning, he knew my story. And that's one of the things of being diagnosed. You know, when you meet someone, it's one of those things that you have to share. It's not always easy because you don't know how the other person will receive it. However, he knew my situation. And, you know, he was just understanding and supportive at the time. And he decided to support me on this journey and help me have a baby. So it was a very conscious decision that we both took.
Amazing. And how was the pregnancy?
Yeah, the pregnancy was scary. I was in hospital maybe like twice. But overall good. I had a good team of doctors and nurses that were assisting me. I managed. I actually miss being pregnant sometimes, but anyway.
But of course you had to go off your medication while you were pregnant. Were you concerned at all? I mean, after everything you had been through, were you concerned that something could happen during your pregnancy? Was there any anxiety around there, or was your faith just pulling you through?
I must say I was concerned, because when you're pregnant, I mean, your hormones are like, you know, shoot through the roof.
Right.
So I was a bit concerned, but I decided to just focus on being pregnant and enjoying that journey. You know, I and that's what I focused on until the baby grew and the baby was born. Then though, after my baby was born, you know, I reached out to my oncologist and, you know, we had a plan around when I will get back onto my medication. So
and you're back on, and yeah.
So that at least put me at ease.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was it like being back on? I mean, do you have any side effects with this medication?
Look, when you fall pregnant, so my oncologist was like, "Buleng, we're gonna start from scratch. You're gonna go back on Herceptin. It was Zoladex at the time. Now it's Eligard." I had finished it, you know, initially when I got my treatment in 2019. So now I had to go back on that injection again. It's a year injection. And then also continue to Tamoxifen. So, look, I think my body has been through a lot. You know, the hot flashes never really left, but now they are quite aggressive. Especially with the warm weather coming back. It's something that I have to navigate. And also, because I got pregnant, my bone density increased. It had decreased because of the chemo. There's side effects that I'm managing as best as I can. I take vitamin D for my bones. But to be honest, I'm more grateful for the gift of life. So the side effects become very small when I compare to the fact that I'm alive and I'm healthy.
It's a great attitude, Puleng. And so you've got your beautiful little son. I think he's 17 or 18 months, Tendo. And I just think it's an extraordinary story, because it goes from such an early diagnosis, such a shock to the system, and so many setbacks and challenges, and yet you just continue to forge forward with this idea of wanting to have a baby. And now there, you know, continuing with your treatment and with this baby. So how would you say, you know, that the experience has been for you? Would you say you've gained something from it? Would you say you've grown from it? Perhaps you can just share that with us.
I must say that, you know, I've grown in faith, and also just learning not to give up. And to, you know, if you have a dream or a desire that God has put in your heart, you cannot give up. And sometimes doctors may tell you it's the end of the road, or, you know, you're chasing a dream and someone says it's not going to happen. You know, this journey showed me that, you know, God has the final say, to be honest. And if you focus on your dreams and you don't give up, you know, you will definitely succeed. So it's a journey that, even when I face setbacks in my life today, I always remind myself of how I thought it was the end of the road, but yet, you know, it wasn't. So faith is very important, and also just not giving up on the desire and dream that you have in your heart.
Yeah, and just realizing you've got so much inner strength, your ability to deal with it, as you say, not giving up. And has it changed the way you see the world?
Definitely. I think there's a lot of not so great things happening in the world, but when I was going through my journey, I got so much support from doctors, from Dr. Carol and Ben as well. So as much as you know, there's a lot of things going wrong, there are a lot of things going right. There's a lot of support out there for, you know, people who have been diagnosed, going through treatment, etc. And also, on a more light-hearted note, in terms of dating after cancer, I must say when I meet someone, I would always be afraid of they're probably gonna reject me, or you know, they probably won't wanna associate with me because I've been through this. But when I share my story, it would usually be quite light-hearted, well received, and I would even play a role of even educating the person that I'm telling. And what I've liked with my experience of dating is that I've been judged by being bullying, but not, you know, I haven't been judged by, you know, having had a diagnosis. So, you know, as much as a lot of wrong is going in the world, there's a lot of good people still out there, and there's a lot of safe spaces still.
There is pulling. There absolutely is. And I'm grateful for that reminder. We need to remind ourselves it's so easy to look at all the negative stuff. And I suppose that, you know, when you've had this and you've gone on this journey, you look for the good stuff. So dating, so you're not with your partner anymore, that well, the rather the father of your son. And how's the relationship? Obviously, I mean, you're bound together forever, right?
Yes, no, the relationship is cordial. Look, we were never married, you know, and I always knew that he had a bigger role to play in my life, which was to help me have a baby. And he did that, you know, without hesitation. So I'm forever and eternally grateful to him for taking such a big decision. So yeah, our relationship remains respectful, we're friends, and yeah, he's definitely present in his baby's life.
Just wonderful. And anything planned for the future?
I don't know. Look, we can have a lot of plans for the future, but you know, sometimes plans change, things change. So I think I'm just focused on now and trying to be as present as possible and trying to chase my dreams and goals as much as I can. So yeah, this whole experience has helped me become way more present. And yeah, so I'm just focused on enjoying life right now, spending time with loved ones and enjoying the fact that I'm happy, I'm healthy, and I'm alive.
Beautiful. So beautiful, Pauline. Listen, we're going to be saying goodbye. Before we do, is there anything that you wanted to share with our audience that maybe I didn't include or we haven't covered?
I think you covered everything so beautifully. Thank you so much for the interview. And yeah, maybe just, you know, to re-emphasize that sometimes things happen in life that feel as though it's over for you. But I think hopefully my journey gets to you know, everyone who might be feeling like they've hit a dead end, that, you know, it's not over with you. You know, God has a bigger plan and a greater plan for all of us. And don't give up on your dreams and future aspirations.
Yeah, amazing. And you know, also Pauline, I mean, it is, as we say, Breast Cancer Awareness Month. You were 32 years old when you were diagnosed. And we are often asked doctors, you know, at what age do you start testing? Because I know that there was no cancer in your family. You tested for that. Am I correct?
Yes, I did a genetic test, and yeah.
So, you know, you may not necessarily when you're younger going for mammograms, but certainly doing those checks, those self checks, because you just by mistake found that lump. And how important it is, you know, you found it early enough and as you say, we're having this conversation. So I think it's a really important reminder, especially for our younger listeners. So thank you so much, Pauline. It's really been lovely having you on the show. All the best. And with your beautiful little boy, all the best going forward.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed having this conversation. And, you know, I've had tears, Nyana, in my eyes, but also, you know, I've been smiling. So thank you for reminding me of the journey that I've been through and how you know, things have just worked out.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Pauline. Thank you for sharing that journey with us. We appreciate it. We really, really do. Puleng Maketa, breast cancer warrior. Yeah, talking breast cancer awareness month, just 32 years old. And as I said, we often have the conversation, you know, when you start going for your mammogram. But clearly, being in the shower, or when you're in the shower, when you're putting cream on your body from a young age, you should be doing that self-check, that early detection is really, really important. We're going to take a break. I'm very excited. Shireen Richter, happiness professor and coach, will be joining us in the studio. We're going to be talking about laughing, laughter therapy, why we should be laughing more, how it makes us feel. And I think an important question, how to just laugh on cue. Is that possible? We're going to take a break and we'll be back.